earlier than seemed like it ended a little bit earlier than usual last week, at least for me. I don't know if it happened to you guys.
So it just times it. I mean, if people get here early, then it's 40 minutes from whenever the first person is here. And like if some people are here 5 minutes earlier or whatever, then we'll actually only have 35 minutes. But it's always the same amount because like Zoom doesn't want you to get 1 extra minute free. So they make sure that it's 40 minutes the start of the meeting until they cut it off.
Got little people watching us.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a timer, so yeah. I don't know that they watch our meeting, but
I don't think so.
So that's mean at the moment there's somebody who's on, the timer is starting.
yeah, well, the timer starts as soon as the first person, because I have it open so that you can come in before the actual meeting starts so that I can do the whole taking the host and then getting the recording and all that. So it has 40 minutes from like if you were to have been here 40 or 36 minutes ago, we'd only have 4 minutes and boop, boop,
Okay.
boop, turn us off.
Okay. Good thing to
It's
know.
good to know, yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello, Jai Guru.
Jai
Jai
Guru.
Guru. Am I audible?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
I do kind of wonder, do we still have many people watching this on like YouTube and stuff?
I guess, yeah. Most of the videos have like 200 some odd views. So. But that could be people viewing it over and over, or just, so, yeah.
One guy.
Yeah, it could be just one guy who just really enjoys our videos. I don't know. But no, yeah, and the channel is like, it has, let's see, it is, let's see, let's see, let's see. Yeah, the YouTube channel has 2,500 subscribers, and our last video that people watched was 256 views. So it looks like, and then a couple of weeks ago it was 299, 330.
Well, they
So
just
yeah, people are watching our Tuesday talks.
doesn't mean I have to watch what I say, does it? Maybe a little
You've been doing fine since 2017, so
bit.
you're probably all right. Since March of 2017, so 7 years.
7 years, gee whiz, it's amazing.
Indeed.
Well, again, even from last week, I woke up this morning, or no, that was yesterday, I guess, or no, this morning, and I noticed, well, it's happened once before where I didn't see, I saw that sleep without dreams in the waking state, where it was a flash that there was no difference between the two states, it seemed. But it's just a flash. It was like a, very spontaneous. It's not like something I know. Of course, and now I'm saying it in words. But and then I was contemplating about that and recognizing that dreams are strictly images. That's all they are, which would be the same thing as everything else, I guess. Just images, which
Even right now, the only way you know it's a waking dream is because body is available. There's body. So body is giving you this concept of a world.
Yeah. And for some reason,
See, without body, it just kills everything. Like you're saying, oh, okay, so the formlessness is, there are forms appearing in the formlessness, both in waking state and in dream state. And yet the formlessness is not changing.
Right. It's always when I recognize that, I'm starting to recognize more and more that it's always there. It's not really disappearing or going anywhere.
Yeah, because it's going against the background of your unchanging reality.
Yeah.
And even if you say, oh, in a dream, how do you see? You don't have eyes, and yet seeing is happening. So you're seeing formlessly and not even using a body to see, because you're not using anything that you would have the concept of, I am seeing this. Forms are appearing and disappearing, and that's it. And all of it is you. You know this because when you wake up, it wasn't anybody else in your dream. And no one's directing your dream. It's just some spontaneous activities going on inside the formlessness that you are. So then when you know yourself in a real sense, this whole waking dream is spontaneous activities going on inside the formlessness that you are. And sleeping and waking are concepts within that formlessness. And the only way you can have waking or sleeping is when you have body identification. Oh, this body is sleeping, this body is waking. So you're saying through the instrument of body, you're identifying the concept of sleeping or waking. Without body, how would you be able to identify a concept sleeping or waking? So this concept sleeping and waking came along with the body, and it can be discarded then because it has nothing to do with you. It's just a body-based concept. And had we been taught as children that when we lay down to sleep in the nighttime and we're dreaming, that's our reality, that's where we're actually being, and this is the dream, you see, it's interchangeable, because you would, the only reason you're saying, oh, I lay down to sleep and the dream world is projected, is because of identification with the body form and concepts that are built around this structure of, I am somebody else.
Yeah, it was really, today, actually, Keith is not here. And that there, and I was really getting the sense of what you say when you say there's no other. It was really, that was actually really, I don't know, it's imprint or whatever.
When you have direct experience of yourself, you sit in meditation and you have this direct experience of yourself, there can't be other. Just like in dream, when you wake up, you know there couldn't have been other. You may have had this concept for a time that you were gathered around and speaking was happening and there was a whole story and all that, but you wake up, you know there's no other. You know yourself in a real sense, other cannot be. And this you don't need to say, it's just immediate recognition. Oh, so that I am that. And that black hole that sucks in all the concepts, and you just remain with yourself with self. A question comes into your mind, and instead of chasing it, you just remain with yourself with self, and the question comes and goes. And then the silliness of the ideal of a question is impressed, because to whom is this question appearing? Unless you try to use identification and create some concept of someone, what is the question? And every question is going to be about the doubt of your formlessness. You can't raise a question without doubting that you're formless. What happens when I die? This is doubting your formlessness. You're saying, oh, there's birth and death. Well, you're not a body. Body, born and dies, basically the goo, feeding and watering, and for a time it's available. And you may or may not identify with it. So that's a doubt about your formlessness. Oh, I start to feel myself sometimes, but other times I lose myself. Again, that's a doubt about your formlessness. If you understand your true formless nature, this doubt will not be there. Mm-hmm. Like you say, oh, sometimes during the day, I feel the formlessness. I'm not thinking. I'm in a thought-free state. Let's call it samadhi. Throughout my day, I'm in samadhi. But then something happens and I drop out of this. Yeah. No, this is doubting your formlessness. This cannot happen. You don't change. All the changes occur within you. No changes occur to you. Just like space. Space can have a football game or a war. Space is not affected.
So anytime I seem to know something, I can be...
You're the knower, not the known.
Yeah.
If you know something, it's something other than yourself and can be discarded. Yeah. That's why Maharaj rightly says, no knowledge is knowledge.
Like it's like seeming to know covers up, and then it will eventually lead to doubts.
But it points to a knower. Because who cares about the known? Like Maharaj talks about when people say, "Oh, I have a feeling." Well, forget about the feeling. Remain with the feeler. Forget about the knowing, and remain with the knower. Because, of course, you were there for something to be known. You were there for this knowledge of existence to have appeared. If you were not, then the knowledge of existence would appear to who? It could not appear. You're timeless, birthless, deathless, ageless, formless, whatever you want to call, all in negatives. Because everything you say that's positive about yourself is a concept.
Yeah.
It's added on, a layer on your presence, as Maharaj speaks about.
Sometimes the word secondary comes to mind. It's a secondary.
Don't forget this word secondary.
Yeah.
No second, no first. As soon as you have a first, there's a second. You have to start counting. Oh,
yeah.
Something other than myself, the first thing. Something other than myself, the second thing. But forget all that and just remain with yourself. Where Ranjit Maharaj says zero, less than zero. Because even to say zero, then you'd have to take a form identity of I am zero. But there's no need for this. You're prior to the words. You're prior to the concept of zero, and you're prior to everything. So anything is just a layer on your presence and just needs to be removed by remaining with your selfless self and not allowing the attention to wander out into the wilderness of concepts. Because once you trust any concept and say, oh, this concept is valuable. No concept is valuable. But as soon as you say, oh, this one is valuable, it helps me remain with my selfless self. What?
Yeah.
Just like body given your name, Keith. You don't have to say, oh, well, how do I remain as Keith? You know, when I go, if I go and order coffee, I need to order my coffee as Keith. I have to sit there and think, who is Keith and how does he order his coffee? No, it's spontaneous action. And as soon as you know yourself in a real sense, you are that. And there's no need to keep refreshing and saying, I am that, I am that, I am that. You are that. That is self-evident. And you can't forget yourself Because forgetting yourself is also a concept within yourself. Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. And if you use mind, ego, intellect as instruments to take care of daily tasks that may be coming in front of you while you're holding a body, okay. If you use it to try and figure out the illusion, you're lost. That's why if you sit there, you say, oh, netty, netty, I am not this. I am not this horse. I am not this tree. I am not this plant. If you know yourself in a real sense, it eliminates all of this. And back to the very basics beginning, as you said, people are listening to the video. So if you're listening for the first time, very barest beginning is sitting for meditation. There's a feeling, just I without anything, a subtle, subtle, subtle presence. Attention goes there. As your attention remains with presence through meditation, you can shift your identification to, well, presence is there. I'm more like presence than I am body. Or, as Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space. So I'm going to compare myself more to this subtle sense of presence. Now, if I'm identified with presence, I know body cannot be, because presence is formless. Obviously, you're sitting here. It's just this subtle, subtle, subtle formless sense, as if the space was alive. Oh. So everything that's occurring within is not myself. And now, after some more time in meditation with attention focused on just this subtle presence, and the more attention, it's selfless self-intoxication, you start to feel this presence more strongly. And that is only because you're not identifying with a body and you're not caught up in the body, mind, ego, intellect. You're more just identified with this subtle sense of presence. And as Nisargadatta Maharaj rightly says, it will reveal all the secrets, because the more you remain identified with this sense of presence, a very subtle understanding, I know this presence. There's a knowing of presence, whether presence is or is not the knower of this presence very much is. And I don't need to try and identify the knower of that presence, because that is a self-evident remaining here. Now try to ask a question. Try to think about, okay, presence obviously is not born or it doesn't die. It might flick with a body and say, this is me, simply because a body form is available. And as long as I feed and water that body, that sense of presence will be there, felt using the instrument of body. But that I am not. What can affect this? Nothing. And now this is where that selfless self, your Atman Nibbida Bhakti, I think it's called, where you're answering the questions automatically, spontaneously, because they're dissolving within you. Then it's not a trick. It's a reality that is self-evident. And if you even try to say, okay, let's remove this. How? This concept of removing is not there. The concept even of attention is not there. Attention appears on your spontaneous presence. Experience ends, there you are. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. Not the concept of nothing, the absence of everything.
It says it's always there, it's not beginning or ending.
And not it and there.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Your reality. You are reality, not your reality, my reality.
Yeah, right.
You are reality. Ultimate truth, as Maharaj says. Without using body, mind, ego, or intellect.
Does that does that change relationship with body pain? I suppose you
Body pain, physical sensations. As long as you're holding a body, like we talked about with the five elements, as long as you're holding a body, there's a disturbance in the five elements. This will be felt, impressed, but you know it's not you. I just read, I forget which book it was.
You don't take it personal. You don't take it personal, I guess.
Well, I just read, I can't remember which book it was, because, you know, consciousness in the absolute and prior to consciousness have all come out on Kindle now. So I've added that into my morning readings. And one of the things that was said in one of the books, and I'm not sure if it's even one of those, but was that a guru said to eat without using your tongue and to carry something without using your hands. And all this sort of thing. And the disciples were like, oh, it's okay. This can't be done. But it can be done if you know yourself in a real sense. You are not drinking.
The book was Ultimate Accomplishment.
There you go. Okay. Good, good, good. But yeah, he gave the disciples the task, you know, eat without using the tongue, carry something without using your hands and all this. And they were scratching their heads. They didn't understand. But when you know yourself in a real sense, regardless of what the body is doing, you're not drinking this water.
So the carrying and stuff might be going on in a, as far from the body perspective, but
well, again, it's the energy, like they talk about the energy with the elephant. The energy is moving around, but it's not, you're not eating, you're not breathing, you're not, none of these things are happening.
Not being touched by it.
The body has a tongue. Without the presence, then you could still put stuff in your mouth, but it's the same. You don't have, nothing is touching you. I told you one time I had the experience of walking and rain was falling on my head. And it was so crazy because when you're so in tune with your selfless self, it's literally like the raindrops falling on a roof. Like there was no concept that I'm getting wet or that rain is hitting me. Yes. Hitting the body, and without having to verbalize it, it was just like a knowingness that I'm not getting wet.
So even if you're drowning, it's not me that's dying.
Well, there's no dying, no birth, no death. That's, you can drown in your dream. You wake up and you're not wet. Maybe it's shocking, like your heart rate might be racing and all of this because it's a body-based experience, but it wasn't your body that was experiencing it. That's how powerful the concepts are in identifying with a body. You dream you're drowning, you wake up, you're not wet, and yet you might be out of breath because you've impressed this concept, I am drowning. It wasn't true.
That's where, even though I could say I'm, it's not feeling it as much now, but earlier today I felt that there was no Keith. You know, the Keith is just I don't know, just wasn't there.
Yeah, Keith is held together by a whole bunch of concepts that have to be believed in with identification with the body. Otherwise, it's the sticky note or the hat, the hook with not nowhere to hang the hook. You can't put a hat on
But there
this
was,
wall with no hook.
but I was still aware that there was no key. But
Well, and this doesn't even need to be mentated in saying there's no Keith. There's just a flow. You know, it's just that's why your whole life is just spontaneous in the moment, spontaneous in the moment. If you try to mentate and say, oh, I want to remember what I did here or do this, or I hope this doesn't happen to me again, or like we talked about a couple of weeks ago about jury duty, you know, jury duty was happening spontaneously in the moment, getting in the car, driving there, doing what needed to be done, boom, 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 and leaving rather than sitting there and dreading it. Or even like the lady was saying, a lot of people will try and get out of it or call and cry and moan about not needing to be there and all this sort of stuff. But it's a spontaneous action in the moment and it's finished.
I guess I could see where somebody would imagine it couldn't have something to do with some imaginary karma, but still, it's like,
Karma for who? If you're formless, you've never been born, then what was your first birth karma that was given to you, that was passed on to you? How? You're not born. You could say within the illusion, karma, instant karma in the moment, just like in your dream. If you smack somebody in your dream, odds are there's going to be consequence, even though it's not true.
Don't some of the masters say that you are cr somehow creating your own reality, like in the moment or something?
Oh, but it's not like creating like a Hollywood studio, just like the
It's spontaneous.
dream. It's a spontaneous, just scenes appearing and
But then,
disappearing, and you're not there.
is it based? Okay, you seem that would be in the realm of what seems to be, because there's associations in the mind that will say, well, this experience that I just had is associated with the ex experience I'm now having, which wasn't just
But if you're not identified, then all of this, you don't have this. There's no, how do you identify with the mind and say the experiences that I'm having if you're not there? Again, keep your wall without a hook and try to hang the hat. You cannot. If you put a hook there, you could put a hat, you could put a coat, you can put a coat and a hat, a scarf,
But
shoes, whatever, but
it'll all go away.
no hook. No, nothing. And it's not even you that has to remove the hook. You just remain with yourself, the self. Because the more you remain with yourself, the self, the world that you used to believe was so real cannot appear this way. But you don't even have to say that. Just do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. You'll see scenes appearing and disappearing. And there won't be a, this is my life that I'm living. Literally, just like with this, okay, it's Tuesday, the alarm goes off, we come, we sit here, boom, everything comes up. Then we're going to turn this off. And then between now and the next Tuesday or the next, 2 weeks or whatever, all these spontaneous activities are going to be happening. And then, boop, here it will be another spontaneous activity happening again. That's why Maharaj talks about when somebody at the ashram talked about samadhi and how they're experiencing a good samadhi. Okay, this is a nice progressive step. But at the ultimate stage, there's no experience, no experiencer. If there's still something, someone experiencing samadhi, then there just needs a little bit more remaining with yourself as self. Because samadhi, for all practical purposes, is just the natural state where there's no hook to hang a hat. And yet, everything flows very nicely. And that's why in the beginning too, mantra everywhere, all the time, everywhere you go, because this will allow you to begin to see that your life moves on quite nicely without you having to try and manage every single moment and think that you're living it and have to somehow put forth effort to live this life. Instead of just you remain with mantra and observe all these spontaneous actions in the moment, which is when we talked about the going to India and going to the hospital, no experience of going to the hospital, no experiencer, no nothing. You go through the experience and you could look back and say, oh, this was, I experienced these things, but I was not there while the experience was happening because I did not create a separate somebody that was having an experience. Just remain with yourself as self. No hook to hang the hat. I don't know if you all can hear that. That's the high school across the road here. They're having a soccer game. So there's like loud speaker of the soccer game. I have the window open. It's nice tonight. Well, I mean, it won't be nice later on. It'll be freezing cold. But right now, it's like in that real nice zone of just brisk.
Thank everyone for coming tonight. Please exit.
That's
out
why Siddha Rameshwara Maharaj says, you know, like, do nothing, basically. Just do nothing.
Yep.
Doing is moving away.
Taking ownership of the doership, no. Spontaneous actions in the moment. Because you are not doer, and there are no deeds. Which goes back to tasting something without having used the tongue, eating something, holding something, but you're not holding, you're not eating. I think they said like Krishna had all these wives, or maybe it was Shiva, one of these figures had all these wives, and yet they said he was a celibate because. And he said, I'm celibate because he's not, he very much understood, I'm not doing anything. The you that you are, it's not possible to do anything. And that doesn't mean you can just go roaming freely, robbing banks and doing all this kind of stuff in the illusory existence. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, this egoistic kind of non-doership where I'm not doing doesn't exist. In practical spirituality, Maharaj always would say. Like trying to sit there and say, okay, I'm not going to move. I'm not doing anything because I'm not a doer. And there are people I've seen in the past, especially on Facebook, many people who would be very happy about being non-doers, doing nothing. I do not have a job. I'm just here at this ashram and I do nothing. Even this is too much effort because they egoistically get it wrong as far as the concept of doing, just like the concept of renouncing, the renunciation, rather than just remaining with your selfless self and all of this falls away. No need to create a renouncer. No need to create a non-doer. That's a very crazy thought, to create a non-doer.
That's like Krishna told Arjuna that he would fight in the war, even though he didn't want to. He said he wasn't going to fight. It was just his, he would. It was just his nature, or the way it would happen.
Yes. He was just doing his duty without taking the ego.